So I'm super excited to have Udo Erasmus with me today. Thank you so much for being with me, Udo.
Oh, that's glad to be on. This is always fun.
I love it. And I always like to kick things off with having my guests share a little bit about your journey and how you got to where you are today.
Okay. Well, let's see. My parents came from Latvia and Estonia, German Swedish background. I was born in Poland during the Second World War, 1942. So I'm 81. And
Nice.
we were refugees when I was 2 and a half in the winter of 45. And my mother was by herself with six kids on a horse-drawn hay wagon on a dirt road, trying to get out from Poland with the communists chasing us from behind in tanks and trucks. And the Allies, which we like to think of as the good guys, they were using us refugees for target practice, shooting us from planes. And there was no military presence on the road. So my
Wow.
mother decided to get off the road. She had six kids with her, 6 years and younger. She couldn't take them all. She had to leave four kids behind. Imagine making that decision,
Oh.
right? And I was left at a farmer's place, and he eventually ended up in an orphanage. And then eventually her sister found us and reunited us with the family. I don't know how long that was, 2 weeks, a month. I don't know how long.
Wow.
For
Wow.
a 2 and a half year old, that's probably an intense experience.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Where's mommy? Right.
Yeah.
And
Oh.
I remember not so much about the war. I just remember never feeling safe and always not knowing what I could trust. And so I was always, right from very early on, always trying to figure out how things work. Because when you know how things work, you get a certain amount of stability because they become predictable. So
Yes.
I got into science for that. Want to know how things work, and then biosciences, how creatures work, and then psychology, how thinking works, and then medicine, how health works. And I didn't learn about the most basic things, because the most basic things are within us, not outside of us. Science looks on the outside, psychology looks at the head, not the heart. You know, medicine looks at disease, not health. You know, and actually, when I was 6 years old, I heard people arguing, adults arguing about really, I thought they were trivial things. And it occurred to me, man, there must be a way we can live in harmony. And I'm going to find out how, you know, it's like 6-year-old doesn't know how complicated everything is.
Exactly.
But that's been my driver, all my life. How could we live in harmony? There's no reason why on this beautiful planet we live on,
Yes.
we couldn't live in harmony with nature and in harmony with each other and in harmony with ourselves. We don't even get along with ourselves most of the time,
Yeah.
right? So it's like,
It's
what the
so true.
hell are we thinking? What, you know? So there's something. So I was always looking for that. And then eventually I found that in an experience I had where a being made of light came to me and bailed me out of my inner darkness and desperation that was triggered by some Christians who treated me very badly, I would say. They cursed me and told me I was from the devil and the Antichrist because I asked a simple question. It must be possible to see God and live. Anyway, and
I
then I
love
got
that.
bailed out by that and the message, and this is kind of like a message that I like to remember. The message of this being that it embodied, didn't say anything, just embody that message. I am come not to judge, but to love. There's the essence of the Christian, not the Christian message, the essence of the master's message. I am come not to judge, but to love,
I
right?
love
So
that.
Christianity is supposed to be the rigid religion of love, but sometimes when you look at it, oh my God, there's so much judgment there. And that's
Yes.
because
Oh.
most Christians actually follow Moses, not Christ, because Christ was love God, love yourself, and you love your neighbor at yourself as yourself. That's
Yes.
the only law you need. If
Yes.
you follow that law, you don't need any other laws. If you don't follow that law, you'll break all the other laws too. So the
Right.
masters were really smart. They just made one law.
I love
One
it.
law,
I love it.
you know,
One
and it
universal
turns,
law, right?
yeah, and it turns out that life loves your body unconditionally, just like the master came with a message of loving humanity unconditionally. Same master, it's solar energy, a fraction, you know, it's filtered through 93 million miles of space, then filtered through the atmosphere, then filtered through plants. And what remains is a fraction of solar energy that is stored in bonds between atoms to make molecules. When we eat those in our cells, those bonds get broken. The solar energy is released, or the solar energy fraction is released. Now we call it life. And life is the master in the body because it runs everything, weighs nothing, runs everything, even created the genetic program over time. And it's all powerful in the body, all knowing in the body, and everywhere present in the body. And its message to the body is, I am come not to judge, but to love. True for 8 billion people. And life loves every creature internally, all the animals, all the plants, all the microbes, same energy, fraction of solar energy. The whole planet runs on solar energy. So we are, you are, Allison, you are a solar energy gadget.
I am definitely, I feel that solar energy and I love it.
Yeah. And since it happens to be love, it's good that you love it. And it becomes love in your expression. How cool is that?
I love all that. I love it all. And yeah. Okay. Right. We're all based in love. So I would love to dig a little bit deeper into the body. Yeah. So I know a lot of my listeners maybe struggle with loving their body, that the body's life. And
yeah.
You know, and I was just saying, like, you know, our body's a vessel and we're supposed to take care of it because we only have one, right? And it's got you have one lap to take it on. So you want to treat it right. What are some ways that people can kind of look inward and.
Yeah. So let me start. Like when I was a kid, I didn't like the way I looked. Mm-hmm. I had body image problems. No question about it. Right. And if I looked at my face, you know, I wouldn't see my face. I would see the one zit.
Of course.
On my cheek, right? And that's that's all I would see. It's like, oh my God, you know? Yeah. And I actually felt like I was ugly. When I started doing the practice of bringing my focus into the space inside my body, into the energy that is the love, that is my individual essence, that is, again, everybody's individual essence. When I began to feel that, I looked at the same face in the mirror, said, not bad. So I realized that what made me uncomfortable with my body wasn't that there was something wrong with the body, but that I was disconnected from the love that is life within me. And when I got that reconnected, it changed my perception of my body. And so you want to say, how should they do it? It always starts with a stillness practice. It always involves a stillness practice because we're do this, do that. You know, our focus is always out there or in here. We need to bring the focus back to its origin. When we were in our mother's womb, our focus had no place to go because there was nothing to do, nowhere to go.
Yeah.
You didn't know you had a mother. You didn't know there was a world. You had no words. You had no thoughts. Right. So where was your focus? Well, you were floating around. I call it the Buddha tank because it sounds you could call it the Jesus tank too, but it doesn't sound as nice. You know? So you're floating in the Buddha tank, right? And you're in your focus because it had no place to go, is at rest inside, in its source, within your body, in life, and maybe beyond that, in pure awareness. Mm. And so you're literally in 9-month meditation. It is the boringest place to be, but you're not bored because you're actually in bliss. Because you're in bliss because you're still connected to what people, for lack of definitive terms, God or Christ or life or peace or unconditional love. That's what you're connected to. And you're not having to deal with anything. Life is just building the body, right? And you're in that place.
And
sometimes you see pictures of fetuses and, you know, this little smile goes.
Yeah.
Right? It's cool, right?
Yeah.
But and so you're inside, you're in wholeness. You're the idea of I don't like this, I don't like that, or judging anything. There's no such idea existing in that womb. This is your paradise place, right?
I love it.
Paradise before the fall. So then you come out, Then you come out, and now you, all of a sudden, everything changes. You have to get to know the world. You have to cry for your breast and your diaper and your warmth and all of that. You have to get to know the world. You have to be able to assess, is this friend, is this foe, is this irrelevant? And so that happens, that automatically through your senses, your focus goes out into the surfaces of things in the world. And in that process, you go from being present inside in your focus and absent outside. Now more and more you get present outside and absent inside, and you get disconnected from your inner self, and that's where heartache begins. That is the source of heartache is not that you're somebody dumped you or somebody betrayed you or your grandmother died or anything like that. Those are the triggers, right. But the cause of heartache is our disconnection from ourselves.
Interesting.
You want to have a good body image. You want to have peace in your life. You want to be content. You have to get it's like this discontent that comes from disconnection is a huge driving force. It drives everything. And people are trying to fix on the outside what needs to be reconnected on the inside. So I talked to a guy who had an airport named after him. He's a multi-billionaire. It took him 20 years to build the airport.
Wow.
And I said to him, he read my book on fats that heal, fats that kill. He said, I was reading between the lines in your last chapter, and I wanted to talk to you because I felt that you knew something that I wanted to know. So okay.
No pressure.
So then I said to him, okay, well, let me tell you how your life goes. He told me a little bit about it. So let me tell you how your life has gone. So you feel discontent here in your chest. Mm-hmm. And you decide, that's your driver. And then you decide that I'm going to do this really big project. And then the hope is conscious, subconscious, or unconscious. The hope is that when I succeed, I will feel whole again. Mm. And so then you bust your butt for 20 years, you build the airport, it's named after you. When it's done, you jump up and down for 3 days. They say, yay, I did it. And the next day you're depressed. He said, well, I wouldn't call it depressed, but I would call it let down. Okay, that's just a quibble on words, right? So now you feel let down. And he said, like, wow, I thought this was gonna get me whole, but it didn't. So then you say, okay, well, maybe I wasn't thinking big enough, or maybe I was thinking in the wrong direction. And then you come up with the next idea. And again, there's a hope that when you succeed, you'll feel taken care of. He said, that's exactly how my life has been. So I said, well, the mistake you make is that you think you could fix on the outside what you actually can only reconnect on the inside. And you know what he said to me? He said, oh, I've never thought of that. That's never occurred to me. As smart as he was and capable as he was, it had never occurred to him that what he was looking for is actually already inside of him. Only his focus is off it.
Yes.
Right? So nothing changes. The goods are already inside. The master already lives inside of your body.
Yes.
But if your focus is on your neighbor's dog poo on the lawn.
Right.
Right? Well, that's not the place for the focus to be if you want contentment or peace or love or feel cared for or feel whole.
Yeah.
You have to go where the wholeness is. So that means you have to go back to where you were, where your focus was when you were in your mother's womb.
Yeah.
And that's always done through some kind of a stillness practice. You stop doing, or thinking. And what you do is, you worked hard and then you played hard. And now I'm saying, no, you need to do nothing hard.
Yeah. Right? I agree with you. And I would love for you to dig into, before we started recording, you talked a little bit about the book, Hear Yourself, Peace in a Noisy World. I would love for you to maybe dig in a little bit deeper into kind of the practice that you have, what helps you, right? What helps you tap into that?
Well, the first thing that opened it up for me was that I was treated very badly. And I had this experience where a being made of light that I was trying to pursue anyway, but didn't know that it existed as a being of light, you might say, said, I am come not to judge, but to love. And that's really nice, but that's a head trip too. right? Yeah. I mean, you, on the one hand, there was a feeling there, but the words never capture the feeling. You know, maybe the first time you hear it, you get a feeling, but then after a while you memorize it, and then the feeling isn't necessarily attached anymore. And so what happened is it became more of a memory than an experience. And I, and the question for me was, I actually want to live in that experience. You know, that would be a good life to live, to live it in that space. I am come not to judge, but to love, right? To live in love, to feel it, to be, you know, to feel it, to embody it, to be it, and then to let that come to expression in what I do in the world. So I was asking the question, damn, how can I stay in that experience?
Yeah.
And not have it become drift off and become further and further away and just exist in my head as a memory. And that took me to the guy who wrote the book, Hear Yourself, How to Find Peace in a Noisy World. Mm-hmm. And he's about 60, he's in his 60s now. I met him when he was 14. He started when he was 8.
Wow.
And basically what he said the first time I met him, he said, the peace you search for in the world is within you, and I can reveal you that peace. He was 14 years old. I'm 30. Wow. I'm 30. I'm really skeptical. Oh yeah, what's a 14-year-old gonna teach me? I've been around. You know how arrogance goes, you know?
Yeah.
I've been around.
I'm older than you.
yeah. Something like that. Yeah. And then but because I was really interested in peace, because I had the war background, I said, I'll check it out. I wouldn't want to miss it if he could. I don't think he can, but if he can't, I'll just keep looking. So nothing lost from checking it out. And I was super skeptical. And literally he said, take an hour every day to sit still. He says that he talks about it completely different than I do. So I'm not memorizing his words either. And it's literally about bringing your focus inside into the space your body occupies, right? That where it was when you were in your mother's womb, and then sensing what is there. You can actually see, if you go deep enough, you can see light in your darkness. You can hear sound in your silence. You can feel love in your emptiness. And you can even taste sweetness in the blandness of your mouth. Mm. Right? So you're taking your senses and sensing what is within you, because your senses monitor energy. You know, you don't see a building. What you see is light. You see color, shape, and then movement, right?
Right.
So,
right.
And then the building comes from our mental figuring from other experiences, like when you walked into the building and you banged your head against it. That's some of the information that you use, that when you see that thing out there, there's also substance attached to it.
Yeah.
And that's mental figuring, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, so the idea is that your senses monitor your outside world, but your senses can also monitor your inside world. But you don't need eyes for the inside world. You need focus. You don't need ears for the inside world. You need focus. You don't need, on the inside, there's feeling, but it's not feeling that involves your skin.
Yeah.
Right? Because your skin is outside feeling. This is inside feeling. The feeling of love. Everybody has felt, you know, if you've been in love, you felt it. You know, where do you feel it? Inside your body.
Yeah.
You don't feel it in the trees. You feel it inside your body when you feel happy or you feel content or you feel love or whatever you feel, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I love it.
So the senses are active inside your body as well. And he just calls it self-knowledge. Self-knowledge means, you know, and how do you get to know yourself? Well, you stop interacting with the outside world. And you take this time to be still, to be quiet, to let your focus go inside. And you just observe what is there. And that's where your fulfillment lives. And that's where your love is. And that's where your wholeness is. And that's where your wisdom comes from. And that's where your inspired purpose is found, in that silence, in that stillness, in that, you know, and whether you call that meditation or mindfulness or self-knowledge, you know, doesn't matter. The importance is you bring the focus into the space your body occupies.
Ugh, I love that so much.
And then basically fully hang out in that space.
Yeah. That's
and
key.
Where your greatest gift is, you know, because you were given this gift. Sometimes people say, oh, you shouldn't spend time on yourself because it's selfish, you know, but actually that is a gift you were given to enjoy, to be fully present in, and nobody else can enjoy it for you. And if you don't enjoy it, it's a wasted gift. And when you actually do that practice, you discover how many talents you have, what you're capable of. And it makes you more effective in the world. But also, you know, there was a time before I knew how to go there for my fulfillment where I was always looking outside and saying, you know, I know anxiety. Mm-hmm. What can I do that'll get me taken care of? Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't do things that needed to be done because I couldn't see how they would take care of me. Now I go into this place. I feel cared for. If I don't feel cared for, I know where to go because that cared for-ness is within me all the time. All I ever have to do is bring the focus back to it, bring the focus back to it, bring the focus back to it. And then when I feel that, it's like, okay, well, what's left to do? Well, there's nothing left to do except to help. And so then it was like, okay, I'm taken care of. It's not about me anymore. What needs to be done? Where can I help? How can I make the biggest splash for good in the time that I have? So it's completely changed my orientation for that as well.
Yeah.
And we now live in a time we are so distracted in a thousand ways, and we're getting so much bad information about what is true and what is right and where we should go. And there are so many people wanting to get our attention to sell us something or to push us in one direction or another direction. It's unbelievably confusing, but when you sit down and you get still and you bring your focus inside, there's no confusion there. There is clarity. There is appreciation for life. And in that appreciation for life, your life becomes simple again. And then you don't worry about AI and you don't worry about whatever it is that, you know, that is the next trip.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then you can live a simple life by your own understanding, because your understanding, when you understand life, your understanding is a very good understanding to apply to everything in the world.
I love it.
And then you don't. And then you're not on a big ego trip, and you don't have to make, you know, $500 squillion. You know, and you don't have to be a power, whatever you call that you have to have power over people.
Yeah.
You know, and then you maybe can become an encourager and empowerer, and help people to find their own power. Because when people live in that, in the power of love that is their nature, they actually behave rather well on this planet with themselves, with each other, and with the whole planet.
Yes, I love it. I would love for you to share, and I'm going to include it in the show notes, where people can learn more about you, connect with you, find out about your book. I know you were just recently in a documentary. So I would love to share all the things. I'll include it to make it super easy.
I'm on Facebook under Udo Erasmus, and I'm on Instagram, and I have a YouTube channel, and what am I missing? LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn. And I have a website that is under construction, udoerasmus.com. And most of what you'll find on the web, well, either I'll be talking about total health or I'll talk about human nature. This is what we are talking about, is human nature.
Yes.
There are 8 parts to it. So we didn't actually get to that. So you'll have to bring me back if you want.
I'll bring you back.
Okay. I developed a method for making oils with health in mind, and developed flaxseed oil and I work with oils and with enzymes and probiotics, digestion, and greens. So I'm involved in that way as well. But the more important story is the one that we're talking about, because we're living in a time when we need to come to terms with ourselves. We have been screwing it up for 200,000 years or 6,000 years, whatever your belief system is. And I think if we don't, if we personally, individually, don't get to a better place inside of ourselves, I think the outcome of the discontent that comes from that is that we're going to destroy ourselves, each other, and the planet.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. So I definitely plan on having you back, because I want to continue this conversation. But yeah. I've loved chatting with you and learning more about you.
And the cure is to find the master within.
Yes.
And then live your life in your body as an expression of that master, and your mastery of that master.
I love it. Udo, thank you so much. We will be back in touch, but thank you for joining me today.
All right. Thanks, Allison. You're a
I would love to share with you a brand new newsletter that I started a few months ago. It is called the Grateful Soul Newsletter. And this is a weekly newsletter that comes out and shares a variety of different activities, events, classes, conferences, all related to spirituality, yoga, sound healing, all the incredible things going on in the community that will help heal your soul, keep you healthy, and hopefully create a community of folks that are all on the path to the same place, right? It's really about tuning into your intuition, healing yourself, and enjoying spending time with a group of like-minded people that are focused on the same things. So the Grateful Soul Newsletter, highly recommend. Sign up for it. It comes out every week. You could unsubscribe if it's not your thing, but I think you will really enjoy seeing all the different local events that are happening.